Good morning, Christ the Cornerstone Church. Wow, that's why. Love it when the pastors do that. Well, thank you for the permission this morning to share with you. God gave me a message on hope. I'd like all of you to hear this. But I have to tell you, I have to confess, this is my first time doing this. So I'm going to ask you all for some help. If you see me get a little nervous or a little flustered or I screw up a little, would you please just offer up a prayer, Lord, help her. And for those of you so led, will you just call out, share it, sister. And a couple, three and back, you guys are allowed to say, share it, mama. All right. So with that, let's get started here. Want to explore some things about hope. What are you hoping for today? Something short term? Something long term? Maybe a material thing. For the kids and the kids at heart, maybe a special gift for Christmas. Maybe you're hoping for a house of your own, a change in your financial situation, perhaps a new job, or maybe like me, that day when you can finally retire. Where's Deva? There she is. Okay. She's in the same situation. Perhaps you are in a dire situation and you're looking to God to help you. You're looking with hope to him. So this morning, with a guide for us, I'm going to use the W words. The what, where, when, and why. So that's going to guide our conversation today. All right? What is hope? Where does hope come from? When did people have hope? And why have hope? What's it do for us? That's the so what of the thing. Okay. So what's the definition of hope? Let's turn to the dictionary. Gotta love a dictionary, right? It turns out that hope is both a noun and a verb. It's a thing and it's an action. So, as a noun, hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen, accompanied by an expectation of or belief in fulfillment. As a verb, hope is defined as desiring something to happen or to be the case, believing, desiring, trusting. So let's turn to the ultimate authority on the definition of hope. Let's turn to the Bible, see what it has to say, right? Paul describes Jesus Christ as our hope. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Jesus not only came to bring hope, he is our hope. In Titus 2:13 and 14, we read, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us. The blessed hope is the reappearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, redemption through him. That's our hope. Moving on to the next W word. Where does hope come from? Well, hope is a gift from God. God gives us so many great gifts, and hope is one of them. And this is a scripture that God gave me that started this sermon. So this is Romans 15:13, and it says, I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy as you put your trust in him. Then you'll have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can have more and more and more and more and more hope, and it's going to flow out of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It all starts by us trusting in God, trusting in him to meet all of our needs, and trusting that he cares and loves for us, So when did people of the past have hope? So let's talk about some examples of hope. Now again, I'm going to enlist your help here. I want you all to close your eyes, and we're going to envision these. I want you to imagine. So let's think about Joseph. I'm not going to close my eyes because I got to go through this. But you guys can all close your eyes. Joseph, the favorite son with the coat of many colors. We know this story, right? He was abandoned by his brothers in the bottom of a pit in the wilderness. How about David, hiding in a dark cave to escape from the wrath of King Saul? The three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's think about them. They refused to bow down and pray to the golden image. And in reward for that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel, who continued to pray to God, even when the king made a law against it, he got the fun of going in to the den of lions for a night. And then let's think about Job. Job, in the depths of despair, loss of his health, and everything that he held dear. All of these men of the Old Testament looked to God with the hope of his help. And God did indeed help them. Okay, you can open your eyes. So let's talk about what happened. God rescued Joseph from that pit. Now, he went through a lot of other things, but he got out of that pit. And ultimately, God used him to create and save his whole family and create the nation of Israel. David escaped from Saul several times, and then eventually he became the king of Israel. Those three young men in the fire, they were seen walking around with the Son of God in there. And when they did bring them out, very much alive, there was not even a singed hair on them and not even the smell of smoke. Imagine that. And Daniel came out of the lion's den without a scratch. Right? All you cat lovers, can you imagine a night in the lion's den with a lot of big cats? I don't know. Not a scratch. And even when they're playing with us, right? You know. Anyway, Job had his health restored, twice as much wealth as he had before, and he had 10 more kids. So, for another example of hope, let's look at the Old Testament book of Judges, chapters 13 through 16. And we're not going to read all of those chapters. But Sunday school kids, Old Testament, I'm going to try. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Okay, seventh book of the Old Testament, right? So again, Judges chapter, this is how we learned the books of the Bible when I was little. And I'm trying with our kids. So, seventh book of the Old Testament. It's worth reading all of these scriptures. It's a lot. And I'm not going to give a homework assignment like someone I know who gives homework assignments. But I will highly recommend that you read the whole story because I'm just going to summarize it today, okay? Strong recommendation. So this is about Samuel, and he was one of the judges or leaders in Israel. So this was between Moses and Joshua and the time of the kings. God raised up leaders called judges, and they're talked about in the book of Judges. So this was a time when, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites again sinned. Now they did this a lot, and God allowed their enemy, the Philistines, to come and conquer them. So that's the setting for this story. So during that time that the Philistines were in power, there was a childless woman. We don't know her name. She was the wife of Manoah. And the Lord sent an angel to her and said, you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to have a child, a boy. And you need to raise him as a Nazirite. Now, a Nazirite was a person who took a vow to not cut their hair, not drink anything fermented. No beer, no wine, no kombucha, nothing fermented, right? So things happened. I don't know if they had kombucha. They had something else that was fermented, I'm sure. So as things happened, what the angel foretold came true. And they had a boy, and they named him Samson. And Samson grew up, and the Lord blessed him. He kept his Nazirite vows. He didn't cut his hair. He became very strong, and he killed many of the enemy Philistines. Now, the Bible tells us that one time, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you just really have to take a look at this in a little bit of depth. So for those on Facebook, there's a picture of a jawbone of a donkey. Google it, you'll see it. So why did he do that? Well, back in the day, the Philistines at that time had conquered a lot of nations because they had knowledge of metalworking and iron. And then they didn't let any of their conquered people touch any metal. So they couldn't make swords. They couldn't make knives, right? Samson grabs the jawbone of a donkey and kills 1,000 men with it. So, well, let's get to the heart of this. Samson did not make the best choices in women. We'll just say that. And some of us, you know, not me. I have a great woman, but I think she's watching. But he kept picking ones that weren't Israelites. And God had said, don't marry foreign women. They're going to turn your hearts away from me. Well, he fell in love with Delilah. And I'm not sure it was mutual. Delilah was pretty deceitful. And in fact, the Philistine leaders came to her and said, we're going to give you some money. Find out Samson's secret. What is the secret of his strength? So let me tell you, three times Delilah tries to get the secret out of Samson, if you know the story. First time, she says, honey, tell me. And he says, well, if you were to bind me up with 7 fresh bowstrings, you know, like from a bow, just tie me up with those strings and I'll lose my strength. So Delilah does it. And then she calls in the Philistines and Samson breaks free. He didn't lose his strength. And the second time Delilah says, Samson, come on, tell me your secret. Why are you so strong? He said, well, if you were to take some new ropes and tie me up with those, I'd lose my strength. What do you think Delilah does? This is on repeat, right? She does that, calls in the Philistines, and he breaks free. So again, a third time's the charm, right? She asks, and he says, well, if you were to take my hair, now he's getting a little closer to the truth. If you were to take my braids and weave them into a loom, I'd lose my strength. Don't you know? She does it. She calls in the Philistines, and he breaks free. Now, after three times, you would think, wouldn't you? You would just think you got a measure of the woman that you're in love with. But, you know, with enough badgering and enough, it must have been, honey, if you really love me, you'll tell me. Right? Samson did finally tell her the truth. And he said, if you were to cut off my hair, I will lose all my strength and I will become like any other man. Don't you know? Delilah tells the rulers. She puts Samson to sleep on her lap. She has somebody shave his head off. She calls in the Philistines again, and this time Samson wakes himself up from sleep, and guess what? No strength. They take him, they bind him up, they gouge out his eyes, turn him into a blind man, they put him in shackles, they put him in prison to grind grain. So let me pause here with a little bit of comic relief, shall I? Could I tell a joke? Pastors? Yes. I know we were telling jokes a couple Sundays ago. So, all right, here's a joke. It's short. What is the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut? About 2 months or so, depending on just how bad the haircut was. Okay, so end of joke. Back to the story. Let's picture Samson as he went round and round and round grinding the grain. So this is how grain was ground back then. Again, Facebook, look it up. You had a big millstone, and then you had a smaller stone on top of it. And you'd take the harvested grain, and you'd put it between the two stones, and then an ox would get hooked to that beam and roll that top stone around and around until the grain was crushed fine enough to become flour. Now, usually they would hook an ox or a donkey or a horse to this, but here they hooked up poor blind Samson. And round and around and around and around and around, day after weary day, he ground that grain. Can only imagine what he was thinking, because he had plenty of time to think. Well, as he ground the grain, the good news is that Samson's hair began to grow again. And one day, the Philistines decided to throw a huge party. And anybody who was anybody came to this assembly. And they came into the temple of a pagan god, small g, pagan god. And they filled the temple. And they had so many people that they put 3,000 people on top of the temple. So this place was packed. It was the place to be. Well, while they were in high spirits, who knows what they were doing, but they were in high spirits, they called out, "Bring Samson, let him entertain us." So they went and they fetched Samson from the prison. And he came out. And as he was led by the servant, he said to the servant, "Put me by the central pillars of the temple." Ellie, if you can, thank you. Maybe a temple something like this. So they brought him out. The servant set him between these two pillars. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time so I may have revenge on the Philistines." Samson put out his right hand on one pillar, and he put out his left hand on the other pillar, kind of like a cross, right? And he pushed with all his might. And those pillars were central to the temple, and it collapsed, and it killed everyone. You see, it was never too late. No matter what we've done, no matter how bad it's become, no matter our failings, we can always have hope in the Lord and he will answer. In Samson's death, he killed more Philistines than he did with his life. So let me share an example from the New Testament. Book of Acts. Sunday school kids. Matthew. Mark, Luke, and Johnny, Acts. So, a couple books into the New Testament, we find the book of Acts. And so, before we get to the scriptures in chapter 16, let me tell you what's going on. The preamble to this is, Paul and Silas are ministering in an area of the world called Macedonia. And while they're doing that, there's a female slave who has an evil spirit. And this evil spirit allows her to tell fortunes. And her slave owners were making a lot of money on her telling fortunes. Well, one day the woman was following Paul and Silas around and just pestering them and shouting at them. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned to the evil spirit and he says, "Come out!" And it did, through the power of God. But then the slave owners were not very happy. As you can imagine, they just lost their money, right, from this slave. So they grabbed Paul and Silas. They took them before the magistrates. The magistrates had them stripped and beaten and thrown into prison. Now we turn to our verses for today. Acts 16 to 20, 25 to 34. We pick up the story and it states, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, a strong earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. At once, all the doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, presuming that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out in a loud voice, 'Don't harm yourself! We're all here!' Calling for lights, the jailer rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and without delay, he and all his household were baptized." That was probably the latest baptism of anybody. Remember, it was midnight. Then he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. So he and all his household rejoiced that they had come to believe in God. So let's think about this. Paul and Silas, beaten, thrown in prison, dark inner cell, with their feet locked into stocks. But around midnight, way past my bedtime for anyone who knows me, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Imagine that. Sore, bloody from being beaten, cramped in one position in the stocks, they were still full of hope, praying and singing to God. Then suddenly, which pastor is it who talks about suddenly? Suddenly, there was an earthquake. Bye, guys. My kids are walking out. They've got work today. Suddenly, God brought an earthquake to set everyone free. But did you notice? Paul and Silas didn't run out of the prison. They stayed to minister to the jailer and his whole household. And then they were saved by believing in God. A few things about hope are shown here. Hope is contagious. I'm sure that those other prisoners listening in and seeing the miracles, I bet you they had a measure of hope too. Then secondly, this is important. This is one of our scriptures for today. 1 Peter 3:15. Peter tells us, we should always be ready to have an answer to anyone who asks the hope that is within us. Ready to share that message of salvation, Paul and Silas were. And folks, if we are not ready, get ready. You might be able to give them the short answer. For God loved me so much that he gave his son. And then maybe you tell them, for the long answer, come on to Christ the Cornerstone Church and we can give you a little more about it. But be ready with an answer. So now a last example of hope. And this one's from my personal life. If you don't mind me getting personal, is that okay? If I share an example, everybody's good? All right, share it, sister. Thank you. I was hoping at least one person would do that today. Thank you. So this is a story from when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And my family went on a trip up north. How many of you all know about up north? If you know, you know, right? So we went up north in Michigan on a camping trip, right? So we're up north camping. And we, my sisters and I, went to my parents and said, hey, can we go play in the woods? They said, sure, okay. So we went off and we were playing in the woods. After about an hour of wandering and exploring and climbing trees and, you know, what kids, you know, find to do in the woods, we realized that we were lost, totally lost. So despite trying somewhat bravely to retrace our steps, we could not find our way back to camp. It seemed pretty hopeless. And I, of course, if you know me, started to cry. But in my desperation, I started to pray. And I'm pretty sure my sisters were praying too. And then, in our deepest, darkest moment, we heard off in the distance the sound of a car horn. And let me tell you that the sound of that horn was the sound of hope. Yes. And guess what? It didn't just sound once. That horn kept sounding and sounding and sounding. And we followed that horn all the way back to our camp where my mother was at the car leading us back to safety. Right? So, I got through that without crying. Okay, good. So, why have hope? This is the so what part. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hope renews our strength. How many of us are tired sometimes, maybe even today? God says that he will renew our strength if we hope in him. We can soar, we can run, we can walk, and even in the hot sun of Florida, not be weary. According to psychiatrists, hope reduces feelings of helplessness. It increases happiness, reduces stress, and improves our quality of life. Hope keeps us from despair when we've lost loved ones. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more the numbers of those people increase, right? And for me, I would be devastated if I didn't have the hope of seeing them again. And I find myself, when I get in tears over it, I just say, Jesus, give them a hug for me and tell them I'm hoping to see them soon. That hope sustains me. Hope can keep us young at heart. Psalm 71:14 to 18 says, "But I will always hope and will praise you more and more. My mouth will declare your righteousness and your salvation all day long. I will enter in the strength of the Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I proclaim your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I proclaim your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." One more thing about hope. As we age and our bodies start to lose function, right? This doesn't work anymore. I can't see quite the way I did before. My back hurts, my leg. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the promise of a new body. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body." Isn't that a marvelous, marvelous promise? That hope of a new body. So when you get that ache, and I can't raise my arm like this, like I used to, let it be a reminder to you of the hope of a glorious new body, like the one that Jesus has. And finally, hope fuels faith. In Hebrews 11:1, we read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When we have the hope that God gives us, the people in this world will see that we are different because of that hope. So let's pray. Loving God, thank you that you are our hope. Please give us more and more hope and let it flow out of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us the reason of that hope. To you be all glory and honor and praise. Amen.